dear friend Brandon and the YMT team, and also the connectivity department at Woolley. And one thing the connectivity department does is we put on these kind of events to sort of deepen the conversation around our shows. And so this is sort of what we're doing right here, and we're so excited to have you guys here. And if you want to join us for any of these other events like this, they're on our website, and they're going to be on our website for each and every show that we do. So thanks so much for coming out. Hope you enjoy the show. Thank you.
We're used to doing this in shitty dive bars and shitty theaters, so there's usually a microphone I have to use. Tonight, we don't have to use the microphone. That is very weird. I have to talk to you like I can't see you. I can't see you. Even though we're in a very small room, every television studio is about this size, yet it feels so much bigger. This is a lie. Theater is a lie. I love it so much. I'm not used to lies. I'm completely used to lies. This is actually real, which makes it weirder. Here's the thing. All we're trying to do is sell chicken and vodka. That's all we try to do. Every day, everyone that works in a co-working space, anytime you see a computer and an Excel sheet, we're trying to sell chicken and, if possible, chicken and or vodka. Here's what I do. Here's what I do. I'm the editor of a website. It's a very fun website. Young is in the title. You might have heard of it. It doesn't matter if you did. The whole point of my life is to sell chicken. Would I survive a zombie apocalypse? Absolutely not. Would I survive for 5 days? Sure, but I have cats and they have needs, and I would feel bad, and I would fight with my wife, and it wouldn't work. I just moved into a co-op. I shouldn't feel good about that because I'm 32 and I'm part of the problem. I'm straight white male. I get that. That being said, I don't feel bad about it, but I do feel bad because I'm keeping up the neighbors because the cat won't stop howling. I will not survive a zombie apocalypse. All I can do is sell more chicken and vodka. Here's where that comes in. We're in the Woolley Mammoth Theater. It's a lovely theater. It's a lobby space. We all just, for the people listening at home, we just saw a wonderful, wonderful play that I highly recommend called Zombie the American. We'll get to more of that later. But this is a commissioned play, which means people were like, hey, this should exist. The end. That was the entire process of how this play came into being. That's impressive. That's very impressive. Now, what I do with this show, we've had some sponsors on the show. Wonderful sponsors like Jepson's Malort. That's the liquor you drink, and then you make a face. And the only people that are laughing are people that have drank Jepson's Malort. It is the worst alcohol intentionally made. Spoiled milk tastes worse. You're not supposed to drink that. You're supposed to drink Jepson's Malort. Anyways, that was one of our sponsors. Another one was beer, because I seem like the kind of man who's an alcoholic, which makes sense. And that's fine. I'm good at selling chicken. Now, my day job and this job, if I don't have sponsors, I don't make money. Okay? That's not how the theater world works. The theater world is actually supportive. In a weird, messed up way, I love that I had to make it clear that the theater world is supportive, but every other form of entertainment's a fucking lie to sell more booze. Anyways, the bar is still open, and it's they have fantastic. I think it's $8 for a tall boy of PBR. It's going to be a great night. Anyway, that was mean. That was a JK. I don't know how much they cost.
$2.
Is it really $2? God damn it. What's wrong with you people? You're supposed to be worse. Anyways, we're all going to go to 9:30 Club after this thing. $13 cocktails and pretend we're punk rock. It's going to be a fantastic night in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. Anyways, we're not here to talk about me. We're here to talk about the play we just saw. We're here to talk about zombies, and we're here to talk about political messages and all this wonderful stuff. For the people listening at home, we are recording this at Woolley Mammoth Theater. It's in downtown Washington, D.C., a few blocks from the Verizon Center. That's where the teams that play here lose.
My team is in the Stanley Cup Finals tonight. You cannot boo me, Haywood Rossi Jr.
About everybody. For the listener at home, I would also like to point out, if you have no talent to be an actor, you could just tell enough people that you're a talk show host and they'll let you do whatever in their own building. So, for the people listening at home, to my right is a very talented performer. For the people in the room, look straight ahead and you can see her. Her name is Lindsay Deming. And Lindsay is a wonderful musician, and that's actually how I knew her first. But a lot of people in this town might know her under a pseudonym, because like an actor here, she is a liar. And she wrote a special song for the occasion, is that correct?
I did.
Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, please put your hands together for Lindsay Deming.
So this is a one-time only performance. Well, I can't say that, but I wrote this song for this performance. I'm a zombie, so people are food. I just want to eat brains, 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 brains. Yum, 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 yum. Brains, 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 brains. Yum, 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 yum. Brains, 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 brains.
She'll be here all night, coining, writing new songs on the fly. It's very difficult. She's a very talented woman. Coming to the area that we're pretending is a stage are two people that are zombie experts. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together. This is your cue, guys. Please put your hands together for Arnoldine Bluger and Andy Hertzberg, everybody.
That was Kristen Shaw.
So thank you.
Arnold, I know I mispronounced your last name, so could you please say it correctly?
Blumberg.
Blumberg. Why is that hard for me to pronounce?
I don't know why people can't figure that out when there's no E in it. The first part.
No, it's because of Bloomberg.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, okay.
But he spells it with two O's, so forget about him.
I can't believe that we can forget about Bloomberg.
No, no.
What's your favorite fun fact about former Governor Bloomberg?
I don't have any facts about it.
Mayor? Was he mayor? Was he the mayor?
Mayor!
See, my area of expertise is zombies. I don't really care about it.
Did he get rid of smoking?
Yeah, he got rid of all smoking.
Great time in New York City when he was there.
Arnold and Annie, you are zombie experts.
Yes.
How is that a thing?
Many years ago, the two of us got together, and among many other things we do in pop culture, we co-authored a guide to the entire history of zombie films going back to the 1930s.
Zombie Mania.
Zombie Mania.
80 Movies to Die For. Title breaks itself.
Yeah, it sells itself. And after that, it started spiraling. As zombies became more and more popular, I started doing a lot of other things to do with it. At University of Baltimore, I teach a course in zombies and popular media. I've been doing that since 2010. I have a podcast called Doctor of the Dead. It's been going on for, over a year now. All about everything, Walking Dead.
Wait. You couldn't figure out it's only been a year?
The podcast, I can't even remember. I think we started a year ago, May, something like that. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
So do you love, I know you have Doctor of the Dead, and you obviously love Doctor Who. We talked about this before the show.
Oh, yeah.
Let's only talk about Doctor Who.
Okay,
what's your favorite Doctor Who zombie-related episode?
One of the best ones in recent years was probably The Unquiet Dead.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Andy, same question.
Recent.
No,
I don't want to go to, like, what is his name?
Cybermen.
There you go.
Newer one.
I'm going Eccleston forward.
Oh, I love Eccleston. But let's see.
I already took out quite a bit from
Waters and Mars.
That's a good one.
Yeah. When do you think Woolly Mammoth should stage a Doctor Who related play?
As soon as possible, and have us come back and
talk about it.
Yeah. You and us, wait a minute. When they do the Doctor Who play, we'll have to talk about zombies.
That's fine.
I would only come if it's based on the Peter Cushing film.
Okay.
I would want him to be Doctor Who, literally.
There we go.
So you don't want anyone to see this play, is what you're saying.
No, people will come. If you put Doctor Who in the title, they will just come.
Have you been to any Doctor Who bars? There's one in New York called the Way Station.
No. Been to one in Portland, Oregon.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was very nice.
What's it called?
I can't remember.
That's fair. Let's just guess.
But it had a police box in it.
No zombies.
Pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Why is Doctor Who better than zombies?
Oh, I don't judge. No, they're all... Everything's great.
No offense, sir. You seem like the kind of guy that judges.
Yeah, well, I judge if I'm grading papers, but here I'm just going to say everything's great.
Fantastic.
It's a neutral plane of mess.
That's right.
So you're in a weird way living a child... I'm assuming childhood dream. You're getting paid to teach
me. What you wanted to do as a kid?
Yeah.
This was your dream? That's great.
Wait. What was your dream as a child, and how is it different than what you're doing now?
Oh, man, I wanted to sit in front of the TV eating bacon. Success.
Yeah.
See, this would be a success if I were actually getting paid, like, I don't know, a living wage. But that doesn't actually happen when you're teaching in college. So you do the best you can. But yeah,
what a horrible cop-out answer. How much do you make every year? What's your tax rate? We're in the theater. There's patrons of the arts.
We're talking about being adjunct faculty in a system
that
exploits people completely.
So you're saying it's a scam to go to college?
No, not at all. I'm saying it's very valuable to go to college. I just wish that the colleges would actually value the professors a little more.
Well, I think we could all get behind that.
There you go.
I don't know why. I was expecting applause right now.
Co-op cost.
I mean, how much it costs
white American male. I'm feeling
same right. as rent in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C.
How much is that?
It's no. So you could say that. That's a word we could all say. No, I have that agency.
Like K-N-O-W? Or no?
Do you remember No Fear? Like the t-shirts?
I don't because I'm myopic, but you know, if you say they exist, I'll go sure.
There were these shirts, everybody, you know, called No Fear, and they were great, because they were all like, I'm the best at football, No Fear. And then there was a Christian offshoot of it with K-N-O-W Fear, like, I love Jesus, football, No Fear, it was the best.
All No Fear Matters?
Yeah. Anyways, zombies.
Yes.
How do you write a book about zombies going back to the 30s if Romero was supposed to be the godfather?
He's not.
Okay, fantastic. End of conversation.
The word isn't even really applied to the creatures that he's created. They're more or less vampires in nature. They get shot in the head as he murdered.
Yeah. One magazine reviewer back in the late 1960s reviewing Night of the Living Dead used the word zombie and it stuck.
Yes.
And so that's how that developed. But of course now the whole idea is what I always talk about is it's just become a genre that encompasses a whole wide range of creatures. They're all different kinds of zombies, everything from the stuff you know in the movies to things like they're doing in the play. So
yeah.
There's all different kinds of interpretations.
What is your favorite current iteration of zombies? That isn't like The Walking Dead or something like that.
Well, actually, some of the stuff I've found the most fun lately has been this whole new movement to humanize the zombie and make it more interesting and fun. And actually, iZombie is a pretty fun little show.
Okay.
Yeah.
That French show, Return. What's the French title?
The Revenant.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. Return. Love that.
Yeah.
Where do you watch? Where do you find that?
Netflix.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I recommended it, watched it.
And actually, if I'm going to recommend something, I also say, if anybody didn't ever catch it, a wonderful, wonderful British show that unfortunately lasted 2 years and then got canceled. It was a show called In the Flesh.
Okay.
And it also did a lot of the same things that this play was doing to use the zombies' way of commenting on everything from sexual orientation to politics. It was a great show, but it just didn't last.
Oh, Wreck is excellent.
Yeah,
the Wreck series.
Okay.
So In the Flesh, you should check it out. Yeah.
When you guys are watching this play and you're experts on it, like, are you able to detach and enjoy it, or are you just consistently
critiquing? I mean, it's like you don't sit there and just be like, shit. Okay, now we have to go and talk about it. You know what?
Well,
I had a novel idea. It was shit.
Yeah.
No. It's not a problem at all. And I say this to students, too. I mean, you can critique something, you can look at the deeper meaning of something, but my God, there's no reason you shouldn't still be able to enjoy it at the same time if you do. It's just a question of different levels. You enjoy it, and then you can also sit back and start to look at, okay, what's it saying? What's it talking about?
Do you guys go to conventions and stuff like that?
Yeah, we just were at AwesomeCon last weekend.
Yeah.
Or this weekend.
Did some panels at AwesomeCon here, right here in D.C.
If you weren't doing panels, would you go? Would you just go as like a normal dude?
Used to, but I don't think I have the stamina for it.
Now, C. Martin Crocker was at this one, so I would have gone to see him.
Fair enough.
Opportunity Hunger Force, you
know. Do you want to go hang out in Georgia and maybe hang out at Danzig's house with me?
Oh, hell yeah.
All right, good.
I was just listening.
No one else got that reference, by the way, except the three of us.
Oh, well, he was great in that. His house was amazing.
Did you see that today in the news? There was a house full of snakes, and they're like, hey, I want my money back. House full of snakes.
Man, that's like dream home.
I know!
Just wake up every morning with, like, cat snakes slithering all over you. Well, I guess they would be cat snakes. Sorry, my fantasy got in there.
I'm going to answer some specific questions that I always have about zombies, and I feel like you
sure.
kind of might know the answers. Has a zombie ever defecated in film?
Yes,
where?
Stink of flesh.
Thank you.
Stink of flesh. They step in it. And watch it. It's a great
film. I'm so proud of the fact that you
knew that right away.
You know what? It's weird. I don't like to name drop, except when I get a chance. There was a guy from Negativity Land. They're the band that got sued for making the album U2.
Negative Land. Not Negativity Land.
See,
that's the children's
cover
band.
He's thinking that all the time. He's thinking Negativity.
And you just told me why.
Yeah, you got his name.
Negativity Line.
No, not lying. Negative. Oh, God.
Oh, see,
get back to the original.
Right,
anyways, the gentleman who was from Negative Land he asked if zombies defecated, and I told him, stink of flesh. And he said, fuck you, die.
Was he doing a bit?
No, he was lying. He wasn't saying that. I just made that
point. Oh, okay.
But he went, oh, okay, I'll have to watch that.
I wonder what I have said after this interview. Is every zombie film, theater, play, everything a comedy?
No, of course not.
Okay.
No. In fact, comedy is pretty, it's sort of a more recent development as a
large Return of the Living Dead really helps cemented. I mean, there's comic elements in all the films.
Some questions you're just going, it's like, not that.
Yeah,
one.
Not that
forget
one.
That,
not
screw
yeah.
that,
try it too hard. Yeah.
Do zombies get fat and or stay in shape?
Not that we can see. No.
Not that we're aware of, but no. Honestly, the genre is so large, and there's so many different nationalities that take part in it,
that I would say
the answer is most likely yes, but I cannot give you a specific example.
Right.
Although I've seen a lot of zombies give birth, so if you want to refer to pregnant women as fat, which you would, you horrible human being. Yes.
No fat chicks. No fat chicks.
Oh, sorry. They do get large, because in Brain Dead, the Peter Jackson movie, his mother grows to a large size, rips open, and shoves her son back into her. Well, you already know. So wise
you came to a zombie play, and that's
hey, look,
cool.
It's kind of nice to go back to the womb.
About going back to the womb, yeah.
But yes, it happened.
He made The Hobbit.
Yes,
yeah,
right.
Did.
Yeah, but he's made movies.
He made sequels to The Hobbit.
He also made decent films.
He was sort of like a doctor surrogate in Bad Taste. He had the scarf that Baker wears. So. Did that on like $6,000.
He might direct the Doctor Who in the near future.
He might do it.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Sorry, what about Doctor Who? Who do you hope the next companion will become? I don't know. I'm thinking I'm just going from
zombie
to
see Martha back, but
that will happen.
I want Dr. Donna to hang out.
Donna's cool too. She's very funny. You know what? As long as we're going to go with British comedians, I'd want the Mighty Boosh to show up. I want, like...
That's in line with the little father.
Yeah, yeah,
I get it. Yeah. You guys are nice. Do you have a lot of toys and shit like that in your house?
I have yellow submarine toys all over the wall. My wife likes to call them my loser material.
That's going to be my next house.
Hey, that's my wife.
That's right.
And yes, I do.
I have a lifelong passion for Lego.
Lifelong passion for Lego. So are you in a renaissance right now?
Yes. Lego is amazing right now.
Do you collect the Simpsons?
They're doing official Doctor Who Lego.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Interesting. You know what? I'm surprised that there's no TARDIS Matchbox thing.
Well, you know, I used to think that kind of thing never happened, but the more popular it's become here, you can't be sure.
It's kind of cool.
Come along. Same thing I have to get it.
Yeah, I won't do that. You guys are fantastic. Where can people find the podcast and all that good stuff and the books and the books?
Well, the book, unfortunately, is out of print. We're working on a new edition of Zombie Mania right now, but we'll certainly keep people posted on that.
What the new title is?
It'll be called Zombie Mania Rises, 100 Movies to Die For, but it'll actually catalog over 1,300 movies. Because that's how many zombie movies there are in existence right now.
That seems like there's too many.
I think there are too many, and I'm actually using this show right now to call everybody in production to please stop and give us a chance to catch up. It's too much already. Cut it out. Let us write about it first. But you can find Doctor the Dead on iTunes. So.
You good?
Oh, yeah.
You can find him around.
Yeah, just hanging out.
This guy's around, and this guy ain't. So thank you. Please put your hands together for Dr. Governor Bloomberg and Andy Herzberg, everybody. You want to play a song?
Sure.
All right, cool. Play a song.
What a lovely introduction. Thank you, Brandon.
That's right. It's a matter of
perception now. We're trying to portray some form of reality or mixed reality or another reality, and I think, you know, people in all their forms are beautiful and welcome.
That's a lovely PC answer, but the reality is,
this
Zombie of the Americas is a great play, but that is the most unrealistic part of the entire thing. Not the zombie thing, not the gay president, not that that Mount Rushmore becomes the capital.
Are you suggesting that I'm airbrushed?
No. The president, the first man, the entire cabinet, no one looks like this. We're going to get fatter and more out of shape, not go... Anyways, it's really bothering me.
I don't know, man. Monsanto keeps fucking with our food supply. I'm not sure. It's not my stuff to eat that's not going to kill you.
to focus on with clones and zombies. You want to hit me, don't you?
That wouldn't be good for the show. No, you're great. You have two roles in this. Which role do you prefer?
I do. Prefer? Oh, God. When do you get to play a zombie on stage?
Right?
Yeah, when do you get to do that? It's fun. I mean, it's wild, and the makeup is... It's a crazy fast. I mean, you should see what's going on backstage. It's just as crazy as what's going on stage.
You wear a brain hat.
Yeah, and I wear a brain hat. But the other one, I get to have a mohawk, which I had never gotten to have, which is crazy. Actors are the worst answering questions like this because I have to find joy in both of them. But the zombie is a much more unusual role to play.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of fun in it. And talking zombies, which I'm sure our zombie experts would be happy to. It would have chimed in, and I think maybe they left.
They did. They left.
You scared them away to the bar. But
I watch a lot of wrestling.
I wonder if there's ever been a zombie wrestling
character. Nope. No? The Undertaker's the closest.
Well, right. All right. I could have just said the zombie, and it would have been a much shorter answer.
I like this one.
Okay.
Ivania, am I saying your name correctly?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. That was the entire question. Now, back to you. I really want to know something you were probably uncomfortable answering. Like, what's the budget like on this thing? Because it looks really expensive, but it seems cheap in a good way. You know what I mean? By the way, could you make me one of the suits? Did you make the suits?
No, a draper from Arena Stage made them, and they're about $1,300
God
a piece.
God damn it, those are amazing suits.
I can get you one of the leather jock straps if you want.
That's off the rack, though. That's not. Did you customize that?
I did add a panel to the back, but I ordered it on Amazon. You can get anything on
your Amazon recommended buys must be so weird.
I'm a perv now. I just ordered, like, jock straps and silver underwear.
Amazon recommends you buy this Taiwanese sex swing.
Have you used a Taiwanese sex swing?
No. I mean, except for the purposes of that joke. But
no. That wasn't a joke. That was a serious query. Is it weird? I agree, he's a good guest. I'm not used to that. Okay. Is it weird acting in a movable theater?
Movable?
Yeah, the entire set moves.
Oh, the theater doesn't move. The theater's here.
People that when the theater and the set and everything moves around them?
I guess I'm used to it by now between like revolving stages and plays where it rains and stuff like that. You just have to deal with it. The big thing for us is dealing with the fact that the stage moves and then the zombies are revealed when like two scenes before they were a governor and a general and all of these other things. So the quickness of how the play moves is challenging because in a film, you know, you just like cut and you're in the next scene. So
it is intense. I mean, the jacket that Ivania designed for Alexander is awesome. I will say it's very Mad Max. It's got, you know, football shoulder pads on it. And adjusting to that when we got in the space was difficult because suddenly I'm 3 inches wider and I already have wide shoulders and we've got to climb these metal, you know, ladders and there's a safety issue and things like that. Also, we can't be underneath that set when it moves because, God forbid, something were to happen and it fell. We obviously wouldn't want to squash the actors. Really, we wouldn't have to want to rebuild the costumes. It's much more expensive than replacing the costumes. Don't get blood on the costumes. Not real blood, anyway. But, that's the hardest thing, is that sort of adjusting to what your costume allows you and limits you from doing within the space that also limits you.
Well, his costume isn't even the widest. You also have the sister...
Barbaria.
Yeah, it's a very, very, I don't want to spoil anything for people that haven't seen this show, but it seems to be quite difficult to maneuver, especially when you're moving through an area that isn't just the stage. How often does that come into play when you're doing your work?
All the time. It's, in some ways, it's like costuming for dance, is you just have to allow for the fact that these are not going to be statues. You're not costuming mannequins. These people are going to move and live and breathe. And one thing we discovered with the Babirie costume is that when she walks, there's like a sway to it. And so, like, having Don put it on and just walk around for a while in fittings and figuring out everything out in fittings to find out whether people can move, whether they can fall down and die, whether they can climb ladders. Especially in this play, like, you have your idealized, like, runway version of the costume, but then you have to deal with the reality of someone being able to move and run around and quick change out of it.
And I should say, Vanya is particularly good at that. There are costume designers who don't focus as much on movement.
Let's name names.
I can't do that.
That was a joke.
The last thing you want to do is piss off a costume designer. But they can put pins in places you don't want pins. She's great at saying, you know, I can come to her and say, hey, this is kind of tricky because I've got to climb this ladder. Can you maybe work this? And then a day later, there's one of my castmates agreeing.
Are you afraid of that ladder?
No.
It's, from an audience member's perspective, it's very frightening.
I'm very brave.
Well, that confidence is nice. You're the only one with shoulder pads, and you're not the only one on that ladder. If someone else falls, it's going to be a lot worse.
We have a safety protocol, and we spent a lot of time on the set and took very good care, and anyone who felt uncomfortable was not expected to be up on those ladders, and you know, you take your time, and hopefully you don't fall.
The big thing is if you're 6'6",
yeah.
And the rungs are spaced
apart. Oh, he's modest about his height now.
So that it's really comfortable, but if you're, you know, a 5'4" woman, it's find the rungs with your feet, it's really tricky.
You guys have done an absolutely fantastic job. There's so many other questions I should ask, but I don't.
Also ask them.
No, because they're not about this play, and they're really personal.
So?
Do you worry about money as soon as this run is over?
Sure. I mean, I have a wife who's an actor, and I have an 11-month-old son. I'm required to feed them.
You're not, actually. If you don't, your son might grow up to be a talk show host after. So, same question for you. If you're in the room, and grab these things. There's so many credits, but it seems like you have to know sort of everybody. You have to just keep hustling, or you don't get to live in Washington, D.C. in 6 months.
Yeah, I basically have to do, like, 12 to 13 shows a year to afford, like, health insurance.
Yeah.
The various necessities, which the big thing is, in order for me to do a really good job on a show, I can't take on so many projects overlapping. I have to devote my entire focus to one project at a time. So on a month-by-month basis, I can't be splitting my time too much. So it's the balance.
I don't know if you have children, but would you want your son to become an actor?
If you really want to piss off your parents, invest in the arts. My dad's an actor, so I'm a little bit biased. And when I told him that I wanted to do it, he told me as long as I pursued whatever I was pursuing passionately, he would back my play. And I as a parent, that's what I feel. You know, it's life is about taking risks and about going after the things that you love. And if you can make a living at them, all the better. I find ways to, even when I'm not in a play, keep my hand in the arts in some way. But, you know, to answer your question, I mean, the same is true for what Ivanya said. You know, we've got to line up our work. The nice thing about the Washington, D.C. community is there's a lot of theaters in town, and they tend to sort of cast their plays in advance. I know my next two projects, one of which is here at Woolley, Women Laughing Alone with Women Laughing Alone with Salad. Is that the name of the play?
You're in the play!
Sheila Callahan, I'm so sorry that I just butchered the name of your play. Women Laughing Alone with Salad. I guess I'm supposed to be naked in that too, I guess. Maybe.
And
Women Laughing Alone with Naked. Back to your question about actors changing shape, Vanya is costuming that as well. And one of the conversations we had is that I was asked particularly to, like, lose muscle mass for that show.
Fuck you! Get off! You're done! I'm so ripped, I gotta gain weight! Because my natural body shape is unrealistic for the modern man! That's what she's saying!
I hope my wife...
Shut up! Shut up! Oh my god! I am so glad you struggle with money!
I'm so poor.
Good! Keep talking like this!
But I've been on TV.
Great, I don't give a shit about that. See this show.
See the show.
It's so
if you loved it, tell your friends. If you hated it, tell your friends.
such a, and it doesn't,
it's weird, right?
It doesn't, you don't have to be like an uber nerd to love it. You don't have to be happy.
But you can be.
Sure, yeah, you could be anything. What did you, yeah, listen, nerds, who this is blatantly advertising to, you could enjoy it.
What?
Yeah, so I said that. He said,
I'm having a really good time.
That's the goal.
History or plan?
It's more about your relationship with your wife.
Okay, well,
she's an actress.
She is. And find one. She'll be appearing in Bad Dog at Olney Theater and Cat on a Hot Tin Roof at Roundhouse Theater. You're costuming that? Both of them?
Yes.
See that? Small one. She has fun.
For what?
For my wife.
Good job.
Yeah. I know it's like my bread is buttered on, so to speak.
No, no!
What do you want to know about my life?
When you... That sounds weird. When you guys... Do you get jealous seeing her with another performer on stage, intimate...
Oh, that's interesting.
30 to 60, 90 to 120 times, everything's in increments of 30. Performances with somebody else.
You know, I think every relationship is different when it comes to that. I'm in the play.
Yeah, I know, but how's yours?
Right. This has been interesting because I have a love scene with a very handsome, very even more ripped than me man.
Hell yeah.
Sitting in the room. And she likes this play. Go figure. And I was like, it's just happening here. Like, that's not going to happen in our life. But you know, when it's women.
Why not?
Why not?
Yeah, why not? She likes it.
Yeah, that's good.
You're getting paid something you don't do anything.
Maybe I should.
What about her, man?
I should have a more open mind. All right, Luigi, you might get a phone call.
Hell yeah.
No, but, you know, when it comes to the opposite sex, you know,
that wasn't the... Oh, yeah, sure.
No, but I mean, I think that's the area where it usually comes up, and I think, as with anything in relationships, communication is key, and, you know, we're both professionals, we both had to do it, and... In this instance, for example, I thought that the sexuality and the graphic nature of it and the way we were cautioned was important for the play. I think that Robert O'Hara, the playwright, is trying to turn sexuality and typical sex scenes on their head. I think in the case of the next play that I'm doing, Sheila Callahan is trying to satirize pornographic sex. And I think that if I came across a scene where I was expected to be nude or in an intimate situation with someone and it was not appropriate, I, as an artist, would have to speak up and say, I'm not comfortable doing that. And if that means that this job's not for me, then this job's not for me. But, you know, it's your body, so you can't. Really.
So you're cool seeing your wife take a bone with other dudes.
Yeah, sure. You know what's fucked up is that most of the nudity she's had to do has been like traumatic. Like she's she's like paralyzed or like in a concentration.
Oh my God.
Or like it's really dark and fucked up.
This one's just fun.
Yeah, this is just campy and fun and hot and that's way easier to do than having to like, be naked with tears in your eyes.
I am glad we're not in that.
Yeah. That's just me at home in front of my mirror.
No one believes you. Well, I have more personal questions for you in the show movie. You're fantastic. You're fine. I don't care about you. Ivania.
I don't care about me.
You should. You have a child. Ivania, do you have any plugs?
Do I have any plugs? I think just this one. This is all I'm thinking about for the moment. I also work with a theater company called Dog and Pony DC, where we do interactive audience and immersive theater projects, which are a lot of fun.
They're awesome. Go see everything they do.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. But really, this show, I just hope a lot of people come and see it. I know I put everything into this show, more than usual.
You two are the only two on the show that are officially associated with the project. Why isn't the tagline for the show Scandal Meets The Walking Dead, but in the future and gay?
It's a mouthful.
No, it's not. Scandal, success. Walking Dead, success. Future, gay, hell yeah. Look, what's the problem? Like, that's gonna no? Okay, I'm the idiot. I'm so sorry. That makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, you know, actually, the word zombie, and I wish our zombie experts hadn't just left for the bar, because having the word zombie in the title is sort of counter to zombie culture, in fact. And in most zombie films or things, they don't use the words they use, biters or walkers or whatever obnoxious thing they want to choose. And Robert has sort of turned it all on its head. And I mean, the interesting thing about this play, I think, is that you don't get to see the zombies, spoiler alert, until a little way through the play. And I wonder to myself, sometimes as I sit alone in my dressing room, or if the audience is going, when am I going to see the zombies? You know, like, I came for zombies. I don't know how much that is the case.
Fuck those people.
Yeah, amen.
Fuck them all. Come to Zombie the American, which runs through June 21st at the Willamette. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Thomas. Sort of like a stage. She's a very funny person. She's going to talk about things that makes people uncomfortable sometimes, but to me, I'm way too comfortable talking about them. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the very funny Jen Tisdale, everybody.
Can I use the microphone just as someone who's used to using them, or is this too much?
It's too much.
Is it too much for the people I care about in the audience? Not this one? This feels good to me. Can I tell you the question that I would have asked the zombie experts? And this is legitimate. Stop it. If you were a vegetarian before you became a zombie, would you have like a crisis of conscience afterwards? Or would you just be like, oh, I'm a meat eater now? Isn't that a solid?
No, because no one eats people when they're not a vegetarian, when they're alive.
No, but they don't eat. But they don't eat. I feel like they don't eat. It's like all about living things. You care about living things. Brandon's never right. And you've all witnessed that tonight. I'm here to talk about... God, it's so weird you're right, the microphone thing. I'm here to talk about, so, just as a show of hands really quick, and I know this is a podcast, so for the listeners at home, sure. How many people here have died at some point? Just... That's what you think. But tonight, I'm going to let you know that you die at least 5 or 6 times every fucking day. Number one. Dead weight. What's dead weight? It's an oppressive burden or responsibility. What kind of responsibility or oppressive burden might I be talking about? Number one, show of hands again, who has a job? Oh, my. Suddenly we've all died a little bit today, haven't we? Your job is killing you, okay? Every day when you come home and your back hurts from being hunched over your, like, shitty laptop all day long, do you know what that pain is? That's the place your body starts to die. That's the exact place. You can map that out through your entire body. If you have a knee pain, that's where you've started to die. I mean, it's different for everybody. I don't know. If you get migraines, it's your head first. I don't care. Number two, physical upkeep, right? That's a burden that some of us feign shallow. The actors left, but it was totally, I guess, that one guy who's... Abs, I guess we didn't get the same, but we talked about for 10 minutes. Heavy is the gray-haired head that wears the crown, right? Am I right? Okay, so what is gray hair? What is gray hair? Nope. Good thought, though. He said dead hair. I said no, because this is an improv, so I get to say no. So... when you get home, your back hurts, you're dying inside. But sometimes you don't know what's wrong with you. Perhaps you've got like a small tumor that's been growing since you were 6. And but you don't feel that yet, but you start to get gray hair. And that's like you're outside going, oh, I'm a little worried that she doesn't know she's dying yet. Gray hair. And that's when you look in the mirror and you go, oh, fuck, I'm dying. The last burden, always being right. Show of hands, who's always fucking right? All day, every day, okay? I'll tell you what, some days I'm like crafting like the perfect Facebook status update or the perfect tweet, and I stop and think, the dead weight of the world is really on my shoulders right now, and then I tweet that because it's brilliant. Number two, dead to me. Okay? That's when you cut someone out of your life completely. Huge fan of that. As someone who lives in a... as someone who lives in a primarily black and white universe, I don't give anybody a chance at all. So please get it right the first time. The pro of that is you get to kill someone without actually killing them, right? So it's the satisfaction of their death without jail time. You'll notice I didn't say remorse, just jail time. The con is they're not really dead, okay? So sometimes, like on occasion, you're going to be like forced to see your mother, okay? And remember that time in 1985 when you came home from school to find that she had given away your Fisher-Price record player to some well-deserving children. And you, and I'll show you, with all your 5 years, did one of these. Where are those homeless kids going to plug that record player? Where? Dead to me. We have the same birthday. I don't even know who she is anymore. Third, dead inside. That's everybody in here. Four. Jingle. I know it's not going to be the right one, but we're going to do it as soon as I kick in. Just a little. Just a strum. Dead or alive. Now that's when it's all the same, but only the names will change. And every day, it seems you're, like, wasting away. Okay? And then there's another place where the faces are so cold. Okay? So then you drive all night, as you do when faces are cold, just to get back home, unless your mother's dead to you, and then you don't fucking go back to that place. See, because I'm a cowboy. You know what I ride? I ride a steel horse. And I'm wanted, you guys. And guess what? Dead or alive. Because sometimes I sleep. Sometimes it's not for days. The people I meet go the separate ways, especially my mom. Sometimes you tell the day by the bottle that you drink. And as you're all alone, all you do is think. And that brings us to the last thing. You spend all your time thinking about dying. Yep, brought it down a little bit. That's inevitable. I've brought a dead thing here with me tonight. It's not just these Paul Walker earrings in my ear, but check them out. He's dead.
I could just have somebody. Is there anyone that can just help me on the stage for a minute? Someone who can strong can catch a thing, throw a thing. Anybody? Are you sure? Anyone?
I'll do it.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. Do I have to move?
Yes. Okay. So, this might be where I lose you guys, but...
Yeah.
Nope. Get ready. This is my cat, Ra. Thank you very... Nope. He died... I don't... When did he fucking die? It was really 4 or 5 years ago. Beautiful box, though. Honestly, get a good. And what I'm not wearing tonight is the necklace that I have with a bit of his ashes in it as well. But the point I'm trying to make is by like being so open and honest about death and how we die every day is this. Brandon, do me a favor, catch this.
Oh God, I caught that.
That's how you catch death. Give it back to me.
Okay.
Nope. That's how you receive death. Do you guys see what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, dying is actually the greatest death of all. I will take questions after the show.
Jen Teasdale, everybody!
Will you play that not Bon Jovi song that you're known for?
She asked me to learn it.
She didn't know.
And I was like, no. But I appreciate that she asked. I'm going to play a song sort of inspired by an apocalypse. Maybe a zombie apocalypse. I don't know. I wrote it.
Good.
Thank you.
You're good. And it's fucking John Bon
is another thing. This okay, color commentary for the people who don't know. Folks at home already know this. We do color commentary. Brandon asked me to do color commentary, basically add a little bit of color to the show, because like tonight it has been very white. No, it has. This is zombie aside. It's just been very white. Like Zach Morris, who was sitting here. It's watchful. Awesome. I said to say, zombie culture is another thing that white people have appropriated for black people, because literally it is Haitian, not even Haitian, West African, not voodoo, but hoodoo, which is religion, which is faith, which is practices of peace that people were doing. They were like, hey, okay, we're going to take you people and make you work for us. And we were like, hey, okay, that's cool, but we're going to keep a little bit of our culture. They were like, no, you're not, nigga. We're going to use it for Halloween.
Yeah.
And that is another thing, man. This one pisses me off. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, I live in Southeast Washington, D.C. People ask me all the time, do you watch World War Z or The Walking Dead? And actually, I do every time I look out my window. But...
what you're saying is you live in a hellscape.
No, all jokes aside, what I'm saying is these people who I call zombies are people who are literally the walking dead because they know not of their culture. The word zombie in ancient African language simply meant divine spirit. Something like my friend Legba, who's sitting in the back of the room. Legba, who's a part of the African Loa, who would be the comedian, as they say, or the trickster, as they say, was somebody who was told, hey, the Haitians, when they were doing it, they were like, hey, we like that leg you're playing with, but here's a chicken leg. Use that, because that's what you're about. So not only did we pick cotton, but we gave you guys zombies. Thank you. You guys are welcome for Brad Pitt and that beautiful movie. Because he wouldn't have made World War Z, which is a pretty good fucking movie, right? That was awesome. It was awesome. And my, side note, I have never seen white folks run so fast except for when they become zombies. It's like, yo, I believe white people can win every race when they're zombies. When they're not zombies, it's a toss-up. You gotta have metal legs. I hate that guy. There was not one African that could beat him. Not one. But anyway. I'm saying, if you would not let us be Africans, are you kidding me? What the fuck?
These segments.
Oh, I've just gotten so I'm trying to make it entertaining because we don't want this to be not entertaining. And Brandon was like, hey, man, would you mind like coming on the show and talking about zombies? I was like, yeah, I'll talk about the crackheads in my neighborhood. I don't mind showing that because, like, in my neighborhood, the most frightening thing when I was growing up, the most frightening movie I ever seen was, like, The Warriors. That was all about, like, gangs and gang violence. That was something I had to fear. Like, because we didn't have poltergeists, we didn't have cable, so that was. Like, what? They got TVs and ghosts about the TVs? White people have everything. What? I said, motherfucker, come out of my TV and be like, come on in. I've been waiting for that. Me and fucking Zach Morris are sitting there waiting for somebody to be like, hey, we want you on our network. And I'm like, that's a poltergeist. Nobody nigga would ever see me. Unless you got a Dish Network. Some of my uncles would be become like, at the time they were heroin addicts. I grew up in the 70s, so heroin was a big thing. So we literally would see like things that made us afraid. If you guys are fans of The Wire, there's this episode of The Wire, I want to believe it's in season 5, where these kids are talking about zombies and talking about The Walking Dead, and they literally see a crackhead come mumbling down the neighborhood, and they're like, yo, what the fuck is that? They're like, it's a zombie, yo. And it's like, no, that's just Tyrone. You say, the fuck your woman. You guys are familiar with that hashtag? That's where it becomes iPhone. It's a guy. Anyway. So zombies to me are like the actual thing about zombies. I dig people being afraid of black people to a point. Be afraid. Yeah, you're so afraid to take your religion to make it scary and illegal. It's not voodoo, it's hoodoo. Who do you think you are, nigga? You a slave, man. I'm sorry, did I touch on the white guilt in the room?
Put your hands together for Haywood.
So we're meeting incognito, incognito. There is nothing to prove you are blue, blue as indigo. You're in the go, go, going gone. So don't cry. Someday everything will end. Everything ends. There is comfort in conformity, security in a carbon copy. To know you're just like me, and we share a destiny. A destiny. So if you leave your fate up to the gods, up to God, look up to the skies and you'll see you're in the center of everything, and everything is expanding. Inside the million-year-old light, inside their light, it's real and unreal, beautiful and strange, just like a dream, matted and framed this life, and the perceptions of my mind, it's the perception of my mind. So don't cry, my friends. It's time, you understand that nothing is forever. Someday everything will end. And everything that we will ever be.
Thank you. Thank you, Lindsay. You're very, very good at what you do. You can see Lindsay as part of Church Night very soon. You have your big summer show.
Yeah.
June 20th at the Black Cat. You can also see her on that Wake and Bake show, which happens every Saturday at a fire engine house, apparently. That's a lie. Church Night is also going to be heading to the Edinburgh Fringe Fest.
Yeah.
And that's in September.
That's end of August.
End of August. I apologize completely.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're great. Thanks for doing this. Thank you, Haywood. Thanks, Jen. Thanks to all of our guests. I also really want to thank all our good people from Woolly Mammoth who helped us do this. Justin McCarthy, Kristen Jackson, and Abby Zan, they've been very, very nice, and they put up with my bullshit. So that's it. Come to the play if you haven't seen the play. If you've seen the play, tell your friends to see the play. Thanks for all of you wonderful people for coming. Thanks, and have a wonderful night, everybody.